Welcome back to our special, Finding Bob Dale, on 1230 WSOO, Sault Ste. Marie. Again, if you have any information about Bob Dale, no matter how insignificant you might think it is, you are encouraged to contact the Sault Ste. Marie Police Department at 906-632-5744. Our final interview tonight is with Bob's wife, Christy Dale. And we're on the phone now with Christy Dale. She's the wife of Bob Dale, who disappeared 25 years ago today. Christy, thanks for doing this. First of all, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. I appreciate you joining us here on the what's got to be a tough anniversary for you. I want to talk a little bit about Bob. I mean, I didn't personally know Bob. How did you two meet?
So we were at high school, sweethearts. Went across from the lobby, and he looked at me, and I was like, oh, you're looking at me? And he said, sure. And we went on a date, and from there it was awesome.
that's awesome. Love at first sight.
In the lobby of the high school, you look at it, I'm like, oh, you are looking at me. Yes, he pointed at me. I'm like, oh, okay, cutie pie.
That's cool. So when did you guys get married?
Right out of high school, actually, August 20th, 1982, I got out of high school, and we got married. My mom made all the dresses and headed out to San Diego because he was in the Navy.
Wow, okay. Did you guys live out in San Diego there for a while, or when did you come back to the Sioux?
Yeah, we were out there about 7 years. He had been in the Navy, it was probably 4 years, and then he found a few jobs out there. It was about 7 years. We came back 89 because we wanted to have more children. We had Robert, and it was so busy and expensive out there that we just got an old Subaru and packed it up and headed home.
Well, and of course, you guys were raised in the Sioux, right? So, I mean,
Yep. Nice,
it's a great place to raise kids. And so I understand a lot of people want to come back and raise their kids here. So you guys have three children, right?
Yes, three boys.
Three boys. So you moved back to the Sioux in, you said, in 89. So what did Bob do for a job? What was his job?
He did a couple different things in the beginning. It was like Allphase Electric. He did some of his own side jobs and siding and such. And when he came missing, he was working for the tribe as a construction lead man for housing.
Mm-hmm.
So basically a lot of construction.
So what was he like? I didn't know him. I just want to get to know, what he was like a little bit more,
He was very quiet. He had, he was a very oriented family man. His family, the Dales were real close. We did all the holidays over there and went out to the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
Just
kind of kept to himself, kind of a quiet guy.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the night that obviously changed your life. You guys went to a wedding reception for some friends, right?
Yes. It was his boss of the Sioux Tribe Housing.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce and Terry, they got married that night. I really didn't know a lot of people, but we went to their wedding and good time. Unfortunately, a little bit too much to drink, like we all do in Sioux, Michigan.
Yeah.
yeah, and silly me, well, it was an early night. I don't...
And at some point, you guys left the reception and you drove into town, right?
Right, yeah. Just before we left, Bob had passed out in my truck or van.
Mm-hmm.
Took a while to get him over. Anyways, we got him over. We headed downtown. And all the people from the party, of course, wanted to go downtown and dance.
Sure.
I like to have fun. I wasn't quite ready, so I thought I wasn't at that point. I could still go downtown. And
mm-hmm.
from there, I just remember getting downtown. But from the party, there's bits and pieces that I don't remember.
Right.
And
well,
what's hurting me in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And all these rumors that people are saying that, I don't know any more than anybody else. It's very sad that this happened to Bob. And
so at some point that night, you realized that he wasn't around, right? That he was missing or whatever. What went through your mind when you couldn't find him?
At first, I went home. And I was like, okay, I don't know what happened. When I was downtown, I was kind of distraught. I remember parts of it, going down there and talking to some friends and then going over to the other bar and dance a little bit, looking for Bob. And
mm-hmm.
I guess I was so distraught that I just went home. And then I actually think I took the sitters home and told them I had lost Bob. And I was around. So when I woke up that morning at like 6 or so, I realized that something was wrong because Bob always came home no matter what.
Right.
That's when I called a couple of his friends. I don't remember names because he only had a couple through the tribe. But I, you know, very private, like I said.
Sure.
And then I had called his parents, I know, like 7, and we couldn't call a missing person for 24 hours. So,
right.
You know, that's what.
I don't imagine initially you probably think, oh, he's, you know, he's, with, you know, passed out at a friend's house or something like that. He'll get back, you know, he'll come home eventually, right?
Right.
And this would have been, I mean, this would have been back before, like, cell phones. So he probably didn't even have a cell phone. So
no.
you weren't able to, you know, like, check his cell phone, like, oh, call him and you text him or say, you know, where the heck are you, right?
Right, yeah. No pagers, no nothing.
Yeah.
You know, we were just surviving day to day at then. So there's, you know, in the beginning, I'm thinking, well, maybe he ran away. I didn't know. He wasn't, you know, he's having a rough time right then with jobs keeping up and his parents died, his dog died. You know, he was having a rough time. So I was like, well, maybe he ran away. You know, I don't know. I didn't know.
Sure.
In my heart, and I didn't want to believe, I still don't know. We don't know.
Right.
We don't know. He could have easily gotten out of the van. Yes. When he, obviously, he got out of the van and you know, walked home, and he could be simply up against a tree sleeping.
Sure.
I mean, he had passed out earlier that day, you know, so it wasn't unusual for him to do that, as he wasn't a real good drinker. He should have stuck to 1, not 10.
Sure. Well, I think all of us could probably relate to that. I mean, there's
man.
You know.
And that's what, you know, that's what we have to appreciate is what, you know, what it is. And it's, I don't know.
So as we're talking to Christy Dale, she's the wife of Bob Dale, and Christy, again, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you, you know, joining us here on this anniversary. I know it's not easy for you, but as the days started passing by and everything, I remember I had been here in the Sioux for just a couple years working here at the radio station, but I remember all of a sudden the flyers starting to come out and people asking, you know, of course, again, it was before Facebook or whatever, there would have been a big Facebook post and like right away, you know, like, has anybody seen this guy? But I mean, we didn't have that then. So some posters were made up and everything. And I remember them being around town. How surreal was that for you when, in those first few days and weeks as you were trying to find your husband?
I didn't know what to think. I was just trying to distract everything, for my children were so young, you know, and I like I said, I honestly thought maybe he walked away.
Right.
You know, but I just knew in my heart that we loved each other so much, even though we were 15 years married, struggling with money, everything else, you know, it didn't mean that we didn't love each other. That's for sure. Cause there was nothing better than what we had.
For sure. Well, I mean, and money certainly doesn't make people happy. I mean, a lot of people, you know, live paycheck to paycheck and everything, and they're still in love. So, I mean, those are the struggles that, I mean, I think a lot of, you know, husbands and wives have, and they're not uncommon. So, but yeah. I mean, I would assume, yeah. I mean, just going through the different, you know, possibilities, and I would imagine it had been tough just to kind of concentrate. You've got 3 kids at home, and you're trying to raise them, and you said trying to protect them from what's going on because they're probably wondering where's dad.
And yeah, they do to this day, you know. And
sure.
I said, I just didn't discuss it because I didn't know what to say. They were so young, and I didn't know how to discuss it. So I coach basketball. I get myself busy working a lot. And, you know, to this day, you know, those boys are really hard workers. They're all construction workers, too.
Followed in their dad's footsteps.
They did, yes. Mm-hmm.
So obviously, and you kind of mentioned, you know, alluded to a little bit, you know, over the years and everything. And again, I know, I mean, I don't know personally, but I can just imagine it never gets any easier. But obviously there's been, I know you've heard probably way more rumors than I have, you know, but I mean, there's been rumors in town about people surmising, they think they know what happened or whatever. You know, we've talked to the detectives at the Sioux area, police, you know, and, you know, obviously they have to run down all those rumors and things. I mean, it's got to be a roller coaster with, you know, the things that you hear and, you know, and trying to separate what's real and what's not. And I can't even imagine what you've been going through over the past 25 years.
It's awful. And this is May the worst of all. And this one's hitting me the worst because of the Facebook page and people just they're not knowing, and they don't know any. Some of these people I don't even know, and you know, it's going to happen. I wish that we could get the Facebook page off. I just think it's just hindering the investigation more than it's bettering, and it's just killing me the way people talk. And I'm not sure what to think of all that.
Right, right.
Appreciative that Mr. Harp is very professional. He's reached out to me, and nobody's ever done that. And the police department, you know, introduced himself, and, you know, he's going to try hard. And, you know, they've always been pretty secretive towards me. They never really gave me information ever. And I understand. I don't want to hurt the case either.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't take it personally in any way. I guess I was going the other way with that. But Mr. Harp's done a great job, and he's very professional.
Well, and again, the like I said, we talked about the technology. Like, there weren't cell phones, there wasn't Facebook back then. That maybe would have helped, you know, to get the word out back then. I mean, a lot of the technology that the police department has now is different than what they have now, or what they had back then. So, and Detective Harp said that that's really, you know, has been helpful as well, as far as you know, trying to get closure for you and your family.
You're right. Yes, and that's why it is. You know, a lot of my friends, like, you know, get out there and don't be on it. But it's very interesting, too. Like you said, it is much well needed. You know, we need to figure this out. And if that's the way it's going to have to be, then it will have to be. And I have to be strong.
Mm-hmm. So talk about your boys now. You said they've all grown up and they're all in construction. How have they been over the past 25 years as far as giving you strength and everything to get through this?
Well, they've always been there for me, and they're awesome. They've had a lot of, you know, ups and downs with their relationships, of course, and other, you know, the drinking gets in the way sometimes, you know, but we've all struggled it together, and we're still one. They're all here with me, which is really nice. You know, we all moved to Grand Haven about 7 years after Bob had been missing. I thought, well, you know, let's get a change, and it was a good thing, and, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, they all... except for my youngest, they have children now, which they never thought they would do. It's a beautiful thing.
Right. So you got some grandbabies to keep you company, keep you busy too, right?
I often want to come home because I love the Sioux, and I miss my families up there, you know. And
for sure.
Miss not being there, but the grandchildren and my boys are here, so I'm like, I think this is where I need to stay.
So you said you've been in contact with the detective and everything. They've probably have told you more than they've told us, but are you feeling confident that you're going to get an answer sometime soon, you think, Christy?
I don't know. I really don't know. I wish. And I know that the Dales are hard on this case and been doing a lot with this, Kathy and Scott and the brothers, you know, but I can't say. I don't know. I just keep praying.
Yeah, because you and your family just want closure now. You just want to know what happened and get Bob, you know, back and, you know, be able to, like I say, put some closure on this story for you guys, right?
Yes, be nice. Yes.
So, anything else you want to add, Christy? I know it's tough, and I appreciate you taking the time out today to talk to us and share your thoughts and everything. Just, you know, anything else you want to share about Bob or your family or anything that you want the listeners to know?
Thank you for all the support and everybody in the Sioux, my family, everybody. We'll just keep praying together, and, you know, hopefully we can all come together and have a funeral for Bob, which would certainly help my children a lot. I just know it would, and then we can move on.
Yeah.
I've never moved on. I just need to hold on.
Yeah, I would imagine it's the not knowing is got to be the hardest part, right?
Yes.
Well, Christy, God love you and everything, and thanks so much for taking the time. And here's hoping, again, if anybody has any information, or like we talked to Detective Harp, if anybody even maybe doesn't have any information but, you know, thinks maybe they can help with the investigation, you know, call the Sioux Police Department. They're investigating, and Detective Harp's not going to rest until hopefully he can get some answers for Christy and her boys, so, and obviously the Dale family too. So, Christy, thanks so much and everything, and we'll look forward to again, hopefully at some point here, hopefully soon, we'll be able to say that this case has been resolved and you guys can finally get some closure and some, you know, just be able to be done with this. So,
yes, sir. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate you, and I appreciate your professionalism and keeping it and taking care of us. Thank you
so much. Christy Dale, Bob Dale's wife, joining us here on our anniversary special here on 1230 WSOO. Thank you, Christy. And thank you again to Scott and Steve Dale and to Detective Sergeant Daryl Harp for all for participating and sharing their stories tonight. Again, if you have any information about Bob Dale, no matter how insignificant you might think it is, you are encouraged to contact the Sault Ste. Marie Police Department at 906-632-5744. You've been listening to Finding Bob Dale, a special broadcast here on 1230 WSOO Sault Ste. Marie. Thank you for listening.